Kevin Short is the man behind the scenes, making sure some of the world's busiest gyms stay up and running. Now, Global Head of Facilities at Ultimate Performance, he looks after a growing international portfolio, juggling compliance, CapEx, and the everyday realities of a multi-site FM. With a solid background in engineering and years of experience at Pure Gym, Kevin knows what works, what breaks, and what it takes to keep disruption to a minimum. In this episode, he chats about rolling out a CAFM system, staying ahead of issues, and the challenges of scaling FM across borders.
Kevin, absolutely amazing to see you on the FM Fix. How's it going?
Very well, thank you, Josh. Thank you both for the invite today. I'm really looking forward to this.
Brilliant.
No worries.
So, tell us, how did you get into the world of facility management?
So, I think my route into FM was slightly different to a lot of people. I kind of fell into it. I just finished working for a recruitment consultancy and was looking for my next role and ended up working on a help desk for 6 months. And from that, obviously having a background in recruitment, but also having a background in building from shop fitting for a long time, I had a good knowledge of building management and building things. So kind of transitioned very quickly through the help desk into CAFM, did a couple of CAFM roles, and then felt the time was right to step into a facilities manager role with one of the largest gym chains in the UK.
Which gym chain was that?
So I worked for Pure Gym for 5 years.
Brilliant. So fantastic experience for...
Great experience.
For massive company. Now.
Yeah, massive company. Really opened my eyes to understanding, you know, the day-to-day work of facilities managers, understanding, you know, OPEX, CAPEX budgets. It was a really good grounding for me to then make the transition into my current role.
We know that facilities is a highly competitive industry. What would you say are the key challenges relating it to your industry?
I think the key challenges for our industry are standards. So for where I am currently, standards have to be, you know, 100%. We have to be perfect. I think making sure that our plan maintenance is on point, making sure that we're trying to pick stuff up before it breaks is a really, really key thing for us. We run a handyman program, so we make sure that any small jobs are picked up within 4 weeks of them being logged on the system, which obviously helps with our standards. It helps keep our gyms looking fresh all the time and is a really, really good way of capturing the small little jobs and getting them done in one hit. So, yeah, I think that's really key. We also need to minimise downtime as well. That's really key for us, making sure that if we are closed, if we have got a problem, if there is an issue, that we're opening as quickly as we can and we're getting those issues fixed as quickly as we can. And making sure that your service provider is the correct service provider. That, for me, is really, really, really key. That's the big thing. If you've got a good service provider, regardless of how good you are at your job, they're always going to make you look fantastic. So that's really, really key for me, is that partnership is correct. And we've got the right people there supporting us.
I couldn't agree with you more. And specifically also because Ultimate Performance, you're in the higher end of the marketplace as well. Yeah. So your customers are going to expect more from you.
Yeah, we have to be leading the line. One of the strap lines that our company uses is results, not promises. So results, not promises is what they say. And again, I've taken that into the facility side of the business, and I don't want promises from my service partners. I want results from them, and they're fully aware of that, and they work with me with that. It's a really good partnership.
In a gym environment where downtime hits fast, how do you stay ahead of issues before they become disruptive?
Going back to the point I've just previously made around plan maintenance, we're making sure that we're on top of things. We're, you know, if belts need replacing on things, if we've got issues that we see in our plan maintenance, we're making sure that we're picking up any remedials on those as quickly as we can. I'm a big believer in running a plan maintenance-based contract, so we're making sure that all our plan maintenance is up to date, all our plan maintenance is getting done, because at that point, you're having an inspection on these things. Mm. So you're going to pick up if there's a visible fault. yes, okay, you know, like anywhere else, we get the odd breakdown, you know, our air conditioning will stop working,
yeah.
Toilets will get blocked, all that kind of stuff. But where we can, we try and pick up as much as we physically can on that planned maintenance. And as I say, make sure that we get the remedials in as quickly as we can, get those remedials signed off as quickly as we can, and get whatever it is back to 100% as quickly as we physically can. And that's key. Our members don't move around gyms. You know, they, if they're training at a gym, that's the gym that they train at. We don't like to move them around, you know, around London or around the country. You know, we haven't got the options up north to be able to move people around. So if we've got a problem, we need to react quickly. Mm. We need to get them in, get it sorted, and get the gym open as physically as quickly as we can.
How do you track the usage of these assets? You know, because they're on for a long period of a day, aren't they?
They are, yeah. So we're not 24/7, which is really helpful. We're sort of our core operating hours, as we call it, are 6 till 10, which doesn't leave me a lot of time to do stuff out of hours. But obviously, using our CAFAM system, making sure that we've got all our assets in there, everything's logged, making sure that when the guys are logging the jobs, they're taking photos of the issues, they're making sure that they're selecting the correct assets so that we've got that background on it. All our planned maintenance is linked through to our assets as well, so we know exactly what's going on. We know exactly how much downtime by using the system to understand how much downtime we've got, and making sure that we're not getting to end of life expectancy with these items as well. We can plan our life cycles much easier, making sure that the guys are logging everything correctly and making sure that they're using that asset tag and taking their photos and giving us everything that we need up front.
Mm. Yeah, sites must play a huge part in making sure you can get that fixed as quickly as possible. Are they really collaborative on that front?
So yeah, since we've brought in our new system, yeah, they've been absolutely amazing. They've really taken it on. They're you know, compared to what they were doing previously, you know, they were sending an email to an email box, and you know, that was then getting picked up. And you know, with it now, it's so much simpler, so much easier, so much slicker. And they're also fully aware that if they don't hit the targets that I expect, which is photos and assets, their work order isn't going to get attended to. Yeah, they have to make sure they've selected an asset and there's photos on that work order, because not only does that help the help desk, but it then helps the background for me. I'm a big believer in rubbish in, rubbish out. If you put rubbish into your system, you get rubbish results out of it. If you put good comments, good information, good photos, make sure that the asset's there, you're only going to get positive things out of the back of it. And that massively helps us when we're doing life cycle replacements, massively helps.
And I guess from a general manager's perspective at your locations, they want to make sure that, you know, they're getting as close to 100% availability of all your main gym equipment, because that's what's going to keep your members happy.
Correct, yeah. We have to make sure that everything on the gym floor is always working. You know, there are challenges in that. The equipment that we use isn't built in the UK, so there is a little bit of downtime that we have. We accept that, but we need to make sure that we do keep on top of that. We do keep the kit serviced, not just, you know, the mechanical and electrical equipment, but the gym equipment. We keep that serviced as often as we can. We also make sure that any breakdowns are logged as quickly as they can be. And again, with an asset number, with a photo, and we get that pushed out as quickly as we can and get the guys in and get it fixed as quickly as we can. It's the core of our business.
What other innovative approaches is Ultimate Performance taking?
I wouldn't say that what we're doing at the moment is innovative. We're not pulling up any trees. What we are doing is we're looking into, and this is probably stuff that other companies are already doing, we're looking at smart metering, we're looking at green energy, we're looking at those good kind of things. You know, with us being a global business, we do travel. So we're trying as hard as we can to offset that carbon. So we are looking at the green tariffs at the moment for our energy and our gas. I personally offset my carbon through a company, and have done for probably the last 4 or 5 years, to make sure that the impact that I'm putting on the environment by traveling around to the sites, by, you know, flying a couple of holidays a year and flying with the business, making sure that the what I'm putting into the environment, I'm trying to offset as much as I physically can. And again, as I say, with the green tariffs, with our smart metering, that's going to make a massive, massive change in how we operate as a business. Just being aware of the impact that we're making on the environment.
And being a global business, does that present you with other challenges?
Yeah,
from a facility perspective.
Yeah, I think that the key thing for me, and something that there's nothing that any of us can change, is time zones. Time zones are an absolute nightmare. You know, there's been days where I've been on calls with Singapore at 5 a.m. and on calls with the States at 9, 10 o'clock at night. But sadly, that's the way it is. You know, you have to accept that you work for a global business. You are that focal point for that global business, and you need to try and make yourself available as and when these calls and these meetings that need to take place. So if that means I'm, you know, up at 3 in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, I just have to accept that. That's part of the role and part of what I accepted when I came into a business, knowing that I was going to be that figurehead of a global business.
I would like to think, though, the transition to a CAFA makes that job a little bit easier. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, earlier on in the conversation, the importance of having a good supply chain as well. So a good supply chain in each region geographically, coupled with good technology, should at least help with those pressures.
Yeah, it massively helps. There's always those little things that you need to sort of step into and that you need to deal with. As I say, like, we have a site in Sydney, which is really, really difficult to communicate to. You know, there's a few times where I've had my phone in my hand at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and my other half's like, you turn your phone off, I want to go to sleep. But the problem you've got there is that if you don't reply to that email there, it's 24 hours before you're getting a response. Yeah. So what is a simple task that would be, you know, 2 or 3 emails in the UK and take 15, 20 minutes is taking 48 hours because of the time zones. So that's one of the key things that I found, I wouldn't say I found difficult, but I've just had to adjust to knowing that, you know, if you are getting an email at 11, 12 o'clock at night, dependent on where it's from, you kind of need to act on that there and then and make sure that, you know, you're cutting down those SLAs. Because obviously, you know, if they've got a problem, they're expecting me to help them fix that. I can't just go, oh, it's 2 a.m. in the morning, I'm not available. You know, I've got to be available to support these guys and make sure that we're doing everything that we can to make them feel they're still part of the team, even though they're 12 hours away from us. You know, it's all about, I want to say inclusivity, it's probably the wrong word, but making sure that they're engaged and feel that they're part of the UP family, even though they're so far away.
So you've rolled out a CAFM across multiple sites.
Yeah.
What would you say were the must-haves when you were procuring a CAFM system?
One of my key objectives was to find something easy to use.
Hmm.
You know, we've all been in the position where we've looked at systems in the that are available that we can procure. They're not user friendly. They're not easy. They're not easy for the end user. They're not easy for the engineer. You're digging through loads of menus to find the data that you actually want. So for me, the big thing was making sure that it was easy to use. You're always going to get a much higher uptake in a system if it's easy for the end user to use.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, that was one of the reasons why we went with the system that we went with, because of that easiness to use, even if that's even a word. But, you know, the ease of use for the end user, making sure that, you know, we could get that high uptake in work orders, making sure that the guys were logging everything. Because it was made abundantly clear when we started on this journey, I wasn't going to be logging jobs. It was on the gym managers. You know, I can't take photos. I don't know which asset it is. It was down to the gym managers. Everything that they need to do needs to be done by them on site. And then it'll be reviewed by me and then either sent on or sent back to them to say, no, you need some more information on this.
Great. And that just contributes to getting things fixed quicker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course it does. But then not only that, as well, as we've said previously, it helps with life cycle maintenance.
Yeah.
End of life maintenance. It helps with when we're looking at refurbishment plans, you know, do we need to look at the M&E in this site? Do we need to replace this boiler because it's broken down 10 times? All that kind of stuff. It helps feed into those conversations around CapEx spend and site redevelopment.
Right, yeah, data at your fingertips.
Exactly, and it's easy to find as well. You know, I know as well with the system, where as soon as you want your budget, you scroll down, your budget's there in front of you. You're not going through, you know, a number of screens to try and find it. You're not having to use Power BI or anything like that. Or, you know, the system has it there straight away for you. And it's really clever as well, the way that it it'll tell you how much budget you've got left. You know, green if you're well within your budget, yellow if you're coming up to it, and red if you're over it. It's fantastic. It's visual. It's there. It's in front of you. You know exactly where you are at any point in the month. It's fantastic.
So the future of facilities management in the gym and leisure sector, what would you say that looks like?
I think it's really positive at the moment. You know, when you look at the UK leaders, and the number of clubs that they're opening and the number of members that they're pulling in, you know, gyms are only going in one way. They're only going up at the moment. Now, I know that's going to get to a point where that bubble is going to burst, the same as it does with everything. Not to put a negative spin on it, but we all know things are in fads. So I think it's really, really positive. I think we need to be looking at the next generation, you know, and I'm sitting here, I wouldn't like to think I was that old, but I'm sitting here today and I don't see a lot of younger people coming into the industry. So that's possibly something that, you know, we all need to think about, is how we're going to start introducing the next wave of facilities managers and how that's going to look for them. Because I'll be honest, when I was at school and the careers advisor asked me what I wanted to do, I definitely didn't say a facilities manager.
No.
So, and as I've said previously, you know, I kind of fell into this. This was at the time when I started on the help desk, it was a job. I never expected to be sat in front of you two guys today doing anything like this. You know, this was just a job at the time. And obviously, you know, it's something that I'm really passionate about now and really, really enjoy. It's a great industry to be in.
I think that's what we want to achieve on the FM Fix, is elevating the whole conversation around facility management, because it's so important. And I think even C-suites and leadership teams undervalue the importance of it. You know, in the end of the day, you're keeping your buildings running, operational, safe,
yep.
And you're keeping the people within your buildings safe as well.
Well, someone that I look up to quite highly within the sector has always said to me, you'll never get a phone call saying, thank you, the doors opened this morning, or thank you, the lights came on this morning. You never get that. You get, my toilets are blocked. Yeah. I can't get in the gym. We've got a power cut. The hair dryers aren't working. You get all that sort of stuff, you know, and at times it can be a thankless task. It really can. But you know full well that if you do everything that you can in your power, and you get that, you know, your sense of achievement is, you know, getting that item fixed or getting that gym back open or doing whatever it is that the problem is and getting to the root cause of that problem and fixing it. So, yeah, no, I do fully agree with you on that point, you know. And also as well, we're keeping them out of jail.
Yeah, yeah.
Without a doubt. So we've got a closing tradition,
okay,
on the FM Fix, where we're going to ask some quick fire questions. No thinking. Just straight answers. You ready?
yeah, let's go.
Fine, brilliant. What do you see as the biggest challenge in FM right now?
So I think the biggest challenge is, it's a plus and a minus, if I'm honest with you, and I know it sounds a little bit daft, but AI. AI is something that we all think is fantastic and is growing massively, but I think we also need to be really, really mindful of it as well. We need to be wary that, as you say, management and C-suites and people like that aren't going to look and go, well, hang on a minute, the job that Kevin's doing over here, we can just run through AI and AI will sort it. Because let's be honest, you know, the way AI is moving and how it's improving, it's going to get to a point where, you know, it is going to be much more intelligent than any of us sat around here. You know, so I think we do need to be wary about that. But we also need to embrace it at the same time. We also need to take the learnings from it. Mm. And, you know, we can use it to widen our own knowledge and, you know, give us more understanding around things and stuff like that. So I think the key thing at the moment is AI. But I think we need to be positive about it. But we also need to look at the negatives and be really careful about how we're integrating that into facilities.
And if you could automate one part of your job, what would it be?
Invoicing. I hate invoicing. if we could automate invoicing, life would be so much easier. And, you know, where I am currently, you know, the number of invoices that we get through is nowhere near what I'm used to, but it's still such a nightmare at month end. So, yeah, so definitely for me, if we can automate invoicing is the one for me.
And what's the most ridiculous FM issue you've had to deal with?
So there's quite a few. So I've been thinking about, I've been sort of racking my brains on this one. I think the one that gets probably the most laughs is when we asked why the pigeon was in the gym. And whether he paid
is this a true
membership
story?
Genuinely, yeah. And whether he paid a membership or not. Yeah. So I got a phone call one Saturday morning saying there's a pigeon in the gym. To which my response was, well, has he got a membership?
Yeah.
And is it legs or arms day?
Yeah.
Which didn't go down too well with the gym manager. But yeah, there are a few more that potentially we shouldn't be telling on the on here. You know, we've had the exploding soil stacks, which are interesting to say the least, and a few dubious things have been found in drains as well. But we'll leave that one there, I think.
We'll make that a wrap on that note.
Oh dear.
Kevin, thank you very much for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you ever so much for having me. It's been a great morning. Yeah, really enjoyed it. It's been great. Thank you both.